Because I can't see the room. I can't see
right.
Who's there. Are we ready for roll call? Are we ready to begin? So I wasn't sure how this was going to work, so I guess I'll need some prompting. Okay, now it looks like maybe I can see the room.
Okay.
I've got letters across all the faces of who's there, so I still couldn't say who's there in the room.
Okay. Well, why don't you go ahead and open the meeting, and then we can do roll call.
Sounds good.
Okay.
All right. We will call to order this special meeting agenda, Tuesday, January 31st, of the Citizens Finance Advisory Committee.
Roll call. Board Member Woody?
Here.
Board Member Alexander?
Present.
Chair Shepler?
Here.
Board Member Pack?
Yes.
Continue.
Very good. Should we now ask for public comment?
Looking at the agenda real quick here. Can you flip it over? Yes, I would ask for public comment for items on the agenda at this point.
Okay. Members of the audience, if there are any, I can't see if there's anybody in the room there with you or online.
Nobody's come to the podium.
Okay. Do we have any raised hands online?
There are no raised hands in the queue.
And let's proceed to our first agenda item. So that's you, Assistant City Manager Director Update.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for being here today. Just have a few updates for you from the Administrative Services. One is that the audit is close to wrapping up and is scheduled to be completed in February and go to Council in February. Unfortunately, I don't have an exact date yet, but it's tentatively scheduled for the 14th, but more likely to go on the 28th. Regarding the damages the city sustained during the storm, the Assistant City Manager Administrative Services Director is supporting all the efforts to recoup and be reimbursed the costs for repairs and to damages through FEMA. And at our first estimation, it was approximately $20 million citywide. So we'll keep an eye on that, and our intention is to contact FEMA on a monthly basis once the claim has been filed, so we can keep that pressure on them and be reimbursed as quickly as possible. And lastly, I just wanted to remind you that at the next meeting, this committee will need to elect a chair and a vice chair.
Thank you, Emily. And then just wanted to announce a couple quick things that the next meeting as well for Citizen Finance Advisory Committee, you'll be joined by a new member. Thank you very much for volunteering. And the city staff will bring forward an update on the progress towards the 2021 and 2022 City Council goals and the action items that will help get to those goals. And the purpose beyond that is to elicit input from this committee on the goals that have relevance to CFAC, and as well as action items that would help achieve those. And we're going to ask the same from the other advisory boards and committees and put out a public survey and have a community forum sometime in late March, early April, where council will take in all that input and proceed forward with new goals for 23 and 24. Also, just want to extend my thanks and gratitude to CFAC member Homer Alexander, who's served the post quite well through COVID-19, the WHARF project, and others. Also, onboarding Measure E, which was a big deal. He had a big hand in that as well. So we just want to thank you for your service to your community, exemplary, and we will miss you up there. Thank you, Homer.
Absolutely. I hope Homer will agree to be available to phone a friend if we need his history and expertise in the future.
Madam Chair, I have a couple general questions to ask. Can I do it now?
Sure.
At our August meeting, we recommended to the City Council, and they agreed that the city staff should go ahead and apply to increase the SRF loan funding in the amount of $21.2 million. Has the Water Board indicated that they will honor that request?
All signs point to positive. We are also in the process of seeking to expand the $5 million loan forgiveness to the new maximum of $15 million. The way it's, I think, supposed to go is it's going to be all prospective projects, but we're working with our program manager on the SRF side, and then should we not get where we need to get with them, we'll go directly to the Water Board themselves to make that request. It has been successful in other projects.
Well, that was actually my second question, was that regarding the decision to bump up the granting amount from 5 to 15. Is there an application process?
It's a letter to our program manager to run up the flagpole administratively, and if we don't get a good answer there, then go directly to the board. So they're following the process they laid out, so that we would hope that we'd get a decision at the same time through this processing of the $21 million request, that they would, that would be rolled into that, and we wouldn't need to request quite as much.
Any sense of when city might hear one way or the other?
Probably 3 months or so. Yeah.
Well, for Emily's, since you're going to be somewhere else, but for Emily's reference, if in fact that comes true, you might want to make a big deal of the fact that this project really isn't costing the ratepayers $160 million. It's 22 million dollars worth of grants that the city potentially could receive.
As of now, we have the $9.3 million grant that we're steadily working with the Department of Interior Bureau of Reclamation program to do that, which is set up for the third phase of the project, the injection wells. And you already have $5 million loan forgiveness, so that's 14, and then we got a $1.2 million grant from the county, so it's 15, and then if you add another 10, that's
25.
Potentially up to $25 million.
So that brings it down to 135, which just is, for a public works project,
not bad.
$10 million over budget is kind of perfect. Thank you. At our meeting in May, we discussed establishing two 115 trusts to manage the pension and the OPED liabilities. Have those trusts been funded?
Yes. I'm getting a head nod.
Yes.
Yes.
Terrific.
Yes.
And I'm assuming that the fund managers will report to the city quarterly, like everybody else's fund manager does?
Yeah, I'm assuming that's correct. That's been our experience with other funds we set up, but we can confirm that.
Can I also assume that those reports might be included in the Finance Committee's agendas?
If that's the desire of the committee, absolutely.
Huh?
If that's the desire of the committee, that makes sense.
Yeah, just so you see how all that's going, right? I mean, it's $3 million of taxpayer money, right? Those are just the three questions I had.
All right, thank you. Not seeing any other questions, Chair.
All right. Well, thank you. Let's move to the next agenda item, which is the approval of our minutes from the October 18th meeting. So I put forth a motion to approve the minutes as noted, but open to comments?
Anybody want to make a motion?
Also move.
Second.
Motion by Peck, second by Member Alexander. All right. How do we do the order? Peck, please. Yeah. Yeah. I'll do it. Start with Board Member Woody.
I'll abstain because I wasn't here last month.
Oh, okay.
So
I'll throw some wrench in that. Okay. Board Member Alexander?
Yes.
Board Member Peck?
Yes.
Chair Shepler?
Yes.
Okay. 3-0 with one abstain. Thank you.
All right. And next up is our main topic of today, which is the review of the FY 2021-2022 transactions, and I know you've got some information here on the actual budget expenditures that tied to that as well. So, Emily, are you going to be presenting for us?
I'm going to present Chair Shepler, and then Emily and Kelly are here to answer questions, as well as our interim police chief, our public works director, our fire marshal, and our interim harbor director. You all for
all
being
right,
here.
Thank you.
All right. So go ahead and go. All right. By way of background, community members passed Measure Q in 2006, which is a half-cent transaction and use tax, which is above and beyond the 7% and quarter that is established by the state. And then in 2020, Measure E was added, another 1-cent transaction use tax. By our community. Very thankful and grateful for that, as it's allowed us to enhance our services provided by the general fund and begin to invest in things like paving and stormwater repairs and other needed infrastructure in our community. It also, in both those ballot measures, required an independent finance advisory committee to review expenditures, which is the main charge of CFAC, amongst other initiatives that they oversee and provide input to the council on. This is a bit of a wordy slide, but I think it's important to help ground the discussion today. Both of those were general purpose taxes, but they did have defined priorities based on input collected from the community and then those who worked on behalf of the community to get support for those, working hard with city staff and council members to help educate on things and needs of our community. We sort of combined those two defined priorities into one for Measure E moving forward at their April 13th, 2021 meeting. The four main buckets are public safety, cleanliness, infrastructure, equipment, and financial health of the city. Under public safety includes things like the Morro Bay Fire Department, Police Department, Harbor, and also equipment and fire headquarter debt service. Under cleanliness, it included personnel, supplies, expenses, and equipment to support city operations, primarily in public works and harbor. And then invest in infrastructure and equipment, which includes actual construction projects like street paving that we are seeing rolled out now throughout town, storm drain repairs, vehicle replacements, as well as the ability to actually implement the backlog of unfunded projects through personnel or contracts. And then last but not least is financial health of the city. In the run-up to the 2020 election, that was a primary concern based on the dramatic impacts of COVID-19 on our general fund reserves. So that was a specific call out to maintain appropriate reserves to help us be prepared for the next emergency, not unlike what we experienced 2 weeks ago. There's a lot of information in the slides, and this is presented in the staff report, but it gives you an idea of the adopted budget. We had revenues at almost $3.5 million and expenses at $4 million. The way those were squared up is using fund balance. expenses across the wide spectrum that support those four goal areas or priority areas. You see all this. So I'm not going to, not going to say each one of them, but you get a sense of the wide array of things that you all help support. We amended the budget around this time last year because the tax revenues were wildly exceeding our expectations. I think we were rightfully conservative at the time we brought the budget forward to council and CFAC in spring of 2021, just coming out of the pandemic or still being enmeshed in it. But consumer spending took off, and council rightfully amended the budget on the revenue side and the expenses to account for that. We were able to bring in additional expenditures that we had held back because we had, conservative estimations on our revenue. So this provides a list of those projects and services we expanded as part of the mid-year budget last year. So in total, we spent, received 120% of budget revenues. That's 120% of the revised budget amount. So it still went even much further than we expected after we had news of a positive economy or rebound. Our expenses are less than what we budgeted at the mid-year, and we're able to have a fund balance of nearly $2 million. That's unaudited, and we're still getting close to that, completing that process right now, as Emily mentioned. So we'll go by each of the departments that benefit from Measure Q and E. On the police department expenditures, 72% of budgeted expenditures were spent, and we spent this shows the expenses along those major categories of personnel, contract services, payments to other agencies, and shows where we were under budgeted. If you have questions on any of the department specific expenditures, we have our members, our directors here to help answer those questions. Fire department was 107% of budget expenditures, I think primarily due to some overtime expenses, but we were pretty close to where we started the year. Public Works was 40% of budget expenditures. Personnel contract service costs were under budget. I think primarily that's because we were bringing staff on at the same time we had started to establish the budget. So I think we'll start to see an acceleration of expenses now that we have a solid team in engineering and administration and maintenance to get these projects underway. And consolidated maintenance, again, same thing, 51% of budget expenses. That will not be the same case this year, I imagine, and next year as well. Harbor Department is 107% of budget expenses. Disposal costs were above budget. We took good guesses as to what those expenses would be, but we continue to see an increase in tourism and the attendant cost to help support that, and mainly in trash services. Harbor Department, beach, lifeguard expenses, 60% of budget expenses were spent. Our expenditures were spent primarily due to not being able to fully staff our lifeguard program, which, as you all may know, was a problem nationwide last year. Pavement management CIP, we didn't spend any money last year. We were in process of trying to get a sufficient amount of money to do a large project for Morro Bay. And you're starting to see that roll out on Main Street and other cross streets, which is fantastic. So that money was moved forward into the next year to help do the paving project we have underway right now and potentially another one before the fiscal year end close. Highway 141, we're putting money aside to help support that project to meet our agreement with San Luis Obispo Council of Government, or SLOCOG for short, for our contribution to that project. It's undecided what specifically that project would be, but it's really to help address the challenges at Highway 141 and Main Street intersection. Kern and Anchor Storm Drain was a CIP called out at that time. We're actually moving through council approval, move some of this budget to address more near-term needs with failure of a storm drain on Elena. But we will certainly be able to come back to this project at another time to fully fund it. So again, in total, the starting fund balance was 1.3 million, or almost 1.4. The total revenue earned through the end of fiscal year last year was 4.7. Total available funds of 6 million. We expended 4.1. So we have an unaudited ending fund balance of nearly $2 million. That concludes our report. We'd recommend that after reviewing Measure E's detailed transactions, approve the fiscal year 21-22 transactions for Measure E revenues collected. And we further recommend that the CFAC chair make a presentation to City Council on February 28, 2023 regarding CFAC's review of fiscal year 21-22 Measure E funds. So if you have kind of the technical questions, we have your finance or administrative services team here, and if you have department specific questions, you have the directors here who can respond to those. Thank you.
I'm not sure if you can go back to the slide. So it's reflecting 1.9 million remains in the fund balance.
Yes.
And in addition to that, there were amounts noted as transfers that we're seeing in department fund balances. So am I interpreting that correctly? So we had 1.9 million at the start of this fiscal year, but there was also some residual funds that were in department budgets that were allocated.
We had 1.375 at the start of the fiscal year of 21-22. And so the ending balance or starting balance of 22-23 is at 1.9, just to clarify that. And yes, the transfers out are in our general fund CIP budget, which is fund 915. And the amounts that were transferred will stay in the fund balance there for future year spending.
Okay. Fellow committee members, do you have questions on this?
Sure. I think the first question is, are these expenditures consistent with the expenditure plan? And I think the answer is yes. I did have some questions. The slide before says 1.958 in fund balance. What portion of that is reserved and which part is unreserved for projects? What's available fund balance to carry forward into the next year, I guess is my question. Or is the 1.958, is all of that available on a go-forward basis? Because some of this reflects expenditures for projects that weren't made but probably will be made. So I guess I'm asking, is that available or portion of it unavailable?
Thank you. Yes, that full portion is available. The amounts that were transferred for projects are no longer in this fund. They're in the fund 915, okay. The general fund, okay. CIP. The only thing that comes to mind as reserved is that this committee committed $600,000 per year for the next 4 years, I believe. For the Highway 41 project?
Yes. Yeah, and I think that was, I think that is part of the spending plan for 22-23, so that would, I don't know if that would draw down the fund balance. That's a good question.
But we could fund that out of fund balance or current revenues.
Yeah, either way. And then I just want to make sure that, I think I stated it, but, you know, there was, particularly on the budget, on the public works side, that there was a lot of unspent funds because we hadn't fully staffed the sections by which you would spend those funds, right? So I think that won't be the case moving forward. Yes.
My other question had to do with the line items that were over, and this is more of a theoretical question. When we commit funds, for example, for a trash collection on the waterfront, and it's much cleaner than it was, so I think we're meeting that objective. Is there a limit to that, or is it simply whatever it takes to get that task done, or are we allocating funds towards that, and that amount doesn't have to be amended? I always view these as we're budgeting X amount for this task, and if it goes over that, certainly council and the manager probably has the ability to move money around. But in these cases, we sort of went over because we went over. That's one half of the question. The other one was that on the fire overtime, is there a reimbursement for that from the state, and does that come back into the fund, or does that come, where does that end up going?
It sounds like you're referring to the mutual aid.
Uh-huh.
That reimbursement comes into the general fund. I haven't seen any transfers made out of the general fund back to this fund, but that would only happen if the staff funded in this Measure E, if they actually went out to the fire and earned overtime.
Because I think the explanation of the overage was that there was overtime for for fires, and so I understand, but would that money be coming back to the fund, or does that money stay in the general fund?
It would take a much deeper analysis, and we can do that to understand why that overtime was incurred. It wasn't necessarily because they went out to a mutual aid fire. As I understand it, their reserve program has essentially gone away, and so instead of having part-time staff in that program, they're having regular staff work overtime.
Yeah, and I think that, yeah, I don't know if there's a commingling of Measure EQ and general fund as it relates to mutual aid, but that's a question I can ask fire chief and division chief at another time. That's a good one. And as far as, you know, going over a specific line item, I think if it's within the reason and it doesn't blow the budget overall, that we usually have enough.
Understand.
Yeah.
Okay. My last questions have to do with revenue projections, and we've had this conversation before. In this case, we went, our actual was 37% above our original projected, which is fine if that then that money just sort of sits in the bank waiting for next year. I'd rather see a more aggressive revenue projection, or one that's more in line with history. Tell HDL to sharpen their pencil a little bit, because that money could just as well be filling potholes rather than filling bank accounts. So I think we just need to be realistic about it. I think you've done a good job of not overspending that fund. But I think we're getting in a case where we're underspending that when we have really critical community needs. And I guess my last question has to do with, and it sort of touches on the Highway 141 funding, is that I'd like us to go back to sort of projecting out for 10 years so we can actually see what's going to be available out there. If the council has committed $600,000 a year to 141, then let's have a spreadsheet that shows that. The maintenance folks that we're hiring are going to be coming out of that for a long time, unless I'm misinterpreting that. So let's start understanding the longer-term commitments we've made, because we may find we're taking in $4 million 4 years from now, but perhaps a lot of that is committed, and we don't have as much available funds as we might think. So I think that's perhaps a comment that I'd suggest that Courtney take to council as to how we approach the next budgeting cycle.
To be clear, you're saying a 10-year would be more advantageous than a 5-year?
Yes.
Okay.
I think it ought to be long enough to respect the fact that when we bring somebody on board, we intend to fund them for a long time. And I think that's probably more of a 10-year commitment than a 5-year commitment.
Got it. Thank you.
I want to follow up on a couple of Steve's questions. I'm still a little confused about how much is available in the QE fund for this particular fiscal year that has yet to be budgeted. In other words, what amount of money are you going to tell the city council during the mid-year budget adjustments that they have available to budget for this particular year? What is that amount?
For 22-23.
Excuse me?
For fiscal year 22-23.
Yes, ma'am.
This month. We can bring that information back to you at the next meeting when we do that mid-year review for you.
Okay, you can't tell me now what's, how much of the basically $2 million is plus this year's budget that hasn't already been budgeted for?
I don't have that data with me here,
okay,
or my computer to look it up. I didn't understand from your emailed question that you were looking to the 22-23 year I guess I didn't understand your question fully.
Well, the reason I asked the question is that I actually went back several years, and Steve's comment about putting the money in the bank versus actually putting it in potholes, that's been the case for the last 3 years, where the revenue projections were understated versus actual, and there's a big chunk of money that's being carried over. And a long time ago, under the direction of the previous public works manager, he would budget stuff, and it never got done. And at one point in time, there was 2 years' worth of revenue that was being carried over. And the people voted to tax themselves because they wanted to see stuff done. And so I'm hoping that when you come to the mid-year budget, that you present to the city council that they've got, you know, $1 million that they could use to budget to do something for the citizens. You know, and I've just, because they didn't tax themselves for you guys to hoard money. I was hoping that...
Could I interject real quick, Homer? We budgeted almost $5.2 million in fiscal year 23 for expenses. That's significant. So we're going to draw down, if we're able to actually hold that, we draw down our fund balance to $150,000.
Okay. But you also budgeted the revenue for this fiscal year about $300,000 less than last year's actual.
Right. So your point is well taken. I think with the storm event and the mention of $20 million of damage, may come in handy. That fund balance may come in handy. What's been unallocated, or shall I say? Yeah,
that's a good use of funds.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's just whatever. Explain. You know, so people understand. Also, I don't understand why Measure Q should be involved in mutual aid in any way, shape, form, or manner, and why you don't journal entry the overtime back into the general fund. So when it's reimbursed, it washes.
Yeah, and I don't think
probably isn't very much money, but
yeah, it probably doesn't happen. I just looked over at our division chief. I don't think that happens. If it does, it's a rare occasion. It's usually just through the general fund because it's.
I've never seen it before.
Yeah, it's cleaner that way. Yeah. So,
and my last question has to do with pavement management. The Pappage folks are paid for. How much is available in this? Is there going to be another pavement management project this year?
Yes. And Greg can correct me if I'm wrong, but we have the current project that's underway, which is essentially repairing the broken road.
Right.
And then there'll be second phase of the same streets that are being fixed now. What's the terminology?
Sealing.
Sealing.
We will seal those same streets to protect them and extend their life.
Yeah.
And that is part of a separate project that I believe in the budget is called something like pavement management fiscal year 22-23. So the Pappage work is a holdover from the budget year that you guys are looking at now. That's why there were no expenditures. We're expending them this year. But we're also doing this year's project this year. So we're doing two projects in 1 year.
When do you anticipate doing the second project?
Hopefully this spring.
Oh, great, great. For what it's worth, the Pappage folks are doing a terrific job. You can't even tell that they've been there.
Yeah.
And it's too bad that you didn't hire them to cover the trenches for the wastewater system.
You want to speak to that real quick?
Yeah, so we are also currently paving Quintana, as you may have seen, and we are using Anvil's subcontractor that the city fortunately was able to take on a much cheaper rate than Pappage, so we're able to get a lot more done, and they're also doing a very good job. The conditions there aren't ideal, but we expect to have most, if not all, of Quintana paved under that contract.
That would be great. Well, I drove down Main Street to get here today, and you don't even know the Pappage was there.
It's good.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
Thank you, Greg.
Yeah, just real quick to our staff, the Highway 141 project, exactly where is that at this point? Where does it stand, and what's the long-term projection on that particular project? Sorry you have to get back up like that. Or what do we know about the project?
No problem, and thank you for your question. We are currently in the environmental phase of that project,
okay.
And that's taking quite a long time, partly due to some potential cultural resources that are in that area. We hope to have environmental completed by the end of spring and start design sometime in the summer. We think that design will take approximately 1 year, at which point we would move into the construction phase of the project. That said, this project, it's known by a lot of folks as a roundabout project. We actually haven't made a decision on that yet. That's a decision the City Council would make as to whether that project will become a traffic signal or a roundabout. And preliminarily, it looks like if we go the signal route, it may take a little longer because it actually has a larger footprint, believe it or not, which affects environmental a bit more. And so I say that because that might affect the timeline that I just mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
Appears to be all the questions for your colleagues, Chair Shepler.
Thank you. With regard to the report to council, I looked back at last year's council agenda meetings, and I was just wondering what format did the prior chairs take to council?
Yes.
For this report, because I didn't see it as an agenda item. So was it just a matter of public comment?
It's a formal presentation prior to public comment, so it comes through that venue. At least that's what I've been my experience. So what we typically do is bring forward information. I think we would work with you offline, Chair Shepler, after this meeting, and then work with you to help give you all the information you need to put together a PowerPoint presentation. You would share the draft with your CFAC colleagues at the February CFAC meeting and then present to the council at the last council meeting of February.
Okay, very good. And if you could find the prior presentations,
sure,
and send to me, because I wasn't successful finding them online.
No problem.
Courtney, I can't remember from the opening thing. Can you see us or not?
Yes, I can see you. Your little fuzzy dots on my screen. There you go. Now you're not so fuzzy.
Do you see that? What I'm holding
yeah.
up? That's
yes.
the slide deck presentation that was made a couple of years ago.
Okay.
My guess is that this, if I'm not mistaken, the same format has been used for a number of years, just the numbers get plugged in a little differently.
Okay.
So I'm assuming the finance department has that, and, you know, can send it to you.
Yes, can do. Thank you.
You know,
very good. Thank you. And we'll get together in just a couple of weeks to...
Yes, that is the February 21 at 3 o'clock. So we will, again, provide you with that, the deck, slide deck from last year, and any information you need to update that, and then present it to your colleagues as a draft, any comments, any edits they want. And then you would take that to the February 28th meeting. The February 28th City Council meeting to present at the beginning of the meeting.
Okay. Very good. Are there any other questions or comments for today?
Yeah. Well, we've got to approve the first item.
Yeah, we
Actually,
can. You can
the third item.
You can approve them together, but I think she's asked for comments. So, sorry,
okay.
Board Member Peck, go ahead.
So, I know we nitpick up here, but this is a good problem to have. You know, if people like Homer hadn't said, "Let's go out and get some money," we wouldn't have $5 million to argue over. So, and I think for the most part, we're seeing the progress after, especially on paving, of 2 years of not doing anything, and I think this. This is going to be something good long term. So I know we come off kind of sometimes as critical, but it's because we care, and like you do. So that's just my final comment.
Thank you. Anybody want to make a motion? Again, the recommendation is to receive and approve the presentation of the fiscal year 21-22 transaction from the collection of the general purpose local sales tax, commonly known as Measure E, and I guess provide input. Yeah, we'll do that at the next meeting. So actually, we only need a motion on the first item.
Sure. I'll move that we receive and approve the presentation of the FY21-22 transactions from the collection of the general purpose local sales taxes.
Do we have a second? Okay. First by Chair Scheffler, second by Board Member Peck. Roll call. Board Member Woody?
Yes.
Board Member Alexander?
Present. And the reason I'm voting present is because I still object, as I've mentioned in previous meetings, to paying administrative salaries with this tax dollars.
Good. Board Member Peck and Chair Scheffler.
Yes.
Okay. 3-0 with one abstaining. Is that correct? Is that you want it to be reflected? Abstention.
Yes.
Do we need a motion on the second item?
No, the second item we'll bring forward as a separate item on
that. But we'll be using the comments here today to craft that.
Yes.
I make a motion, we adjourn.
Okay. Yeah, that's all we have today. Any other comments?
That's all. I also want to thank the department heads for coming and being available for us if we did have questions. So thank you for your time today as well.
Fantastic.
And great work, everybody, on leading the city through those storms. And I hope you're very successful in your FEMA efforts.
Thank you. We appreciate that so much. Adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have my clock.